Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to be back here with everybody again after what seems like a long time. I don't know if it seemed as long to you as it did to me. Probably not. But the Lord has His perfect timing, and there were a lot of things already that our family feels like that period of waiting after clear back in June, can you believe that, you extended the invitation for me to come here. And we didn't make it here till the end of September. Well, God had His reasons for that. And like I said, our family is, there's a few things that we've already seen God's hand in keeping us there a little longer in Minnesota, and the things that happened, and just other things in having to make the trip down here more times than we wanted to do, 8 hours all the way from Minnesota. But it was worth it in the end, and we're here now. And so, Lord willing, we'll get all unpacked soon, soon being a relative term, and get settled in here. And like I said, I'm glad to be with all of you guys this evening. Turn with me this evening to a familiar passage in Philippians chapter 4. We're just going to look at two verses here. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8 and 9, we're going to read to start with and look at these verses here tonight. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that there's truth in there that we can learn every time we open it. May your Spirit truly be our guide this evening as we look into your word, and that He would teach us what we need to hear to make us better followers of you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I kind of do things backwards sometimes. I'm going to look at the end of that verse. It says, think on these things. That also can be translated meditate. What do you think of when you hear the word meditate? I had asked Pastor Terry what the word meditate meant to him when he was just in a senior year of high school in that era, right? What did meditation mean back then? Was not a good thing, was it? We think of those things. I have a brother-in-law who, when we first met him, before he came to know the Lord, he had the hair long there too. He was, he's my ex-hippie brother-in-law. He was into transcendental meditation when he came to our house. For some strange reason, after he was there for a while, it didn't work anymore.
Praise the Lord.
Dave's thankful he never got into drugs, but he was into the transcendental meditation. And like I said, it just didn't work anymore being in our home and hearing the Word of God, and we were constantly working on Him. I was little. I was 3-4 years old, so my filter on witnessing to Him was zero. I told Him He needed to get saved and all that, I guess. I was kind of a little pest, but he served the Lord and went off to, he was saved and went off to Bible school, and he's serving the Lord today. So something worked. But we think of meditation often as that, this idea of emptying your mind. And in biblical meditation is exactly the opposite of that. Biblical meditation has the idea of filling your mind up. It is filling it up. Our minds are not supposed to be empty. They're supposed to be full. Full of what? Well, these things that it talked about before that, these things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy. Well, what are those things? Where do we find things that are true and so forth? We're going to look at that. First off, of course, is true. Whatever things are true. And I think there's a reason that the Holy Spirit put whatever things are true first. Be thinking about it that as we go along. But it starts out with whatever things are true. Where does truth come from? What is the source of truth? Well, there are multiple sources of truth, absolute truth. The first is from God himself, of course. Romans 3 and beginning of verse 4, it says, "Let God be true and every man a liar." Now, the context of that is that if all humanity was in agreement for some reason that God has been unfaithful and unjust in his redemption plan, it doesn't really matter. God is still true, and we are not. This whole idea that we all have our own truth, right? It's not the case. There is absolute truth, and it comes from God. It doesn't come from within. And in today's world, we want to search for truth within, is what we're told. Search for that truth within you and find it. The only way we're going to find truth from within is if God has already put it there, if we have put it in there by going to him. And through God the Father, but also through Christ. What does Christ say in John 14:6? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me." Okay, the truth. There is no other truth besides God's truth. We've heard that saying, there is no truth but God's truth. You look at the order in the universe. Jim talked about that he's used that for a chance to witness to the doctors and the, you know, how much just creation proves the existence of God. 2 + 2 = 4 is truth. Why? Because God has created this universe in an orderly fashion, so that all those rules of nature and math and science come from God, right? All that truth comes from God. And I'm thankful, John and I visited a little bit this morning about homeschooling. I'm thankful for the homeschool curriculum that we've been able to have over the years, that every subject's looked at from a biblical standpoint. And you can look at it that way, that all truth comes from God. And God has created this universe in an orderly manner, and it's from him, it's from Christ. Ephesians 4 also speaks about that. If you want to turn there with me, Ephesians 4 and verse 21, "Indeed, if you have heard him," that is Jesus, "and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." So once again, where do we find truth? The truth is in Jesus. That's where we learn it from. In the context here, Paul is reminding them not to walk as they used to walk because they have learned Christ differently, what they have learned in him, because that's where the truth is found. It's found in Jesus. And also through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a source of truth. We can look in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 16. Turn too far. John chapter 16, in verse 12 and 13, Jesus here in his last discourse with his disciples, he says, "I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come." So our source of truth is, another source of truth is the Holy Spirit speaking truth into our lives. Have you ever been faced with a decision and you thought about doing the wrong thing maybe, and what we call conscience stops you from doing that? Well, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to our conscience, isn't it? And he's going to tell us the truth, how to respond, how to move forward. He's going to guide us. And how else does he guide us? Through God's word. So there's the last source of truth that we're going to look at here today. It's found in God's word. Turn just one page probably in most of your Bibles to John 17:17, where Jesus is praying to the Father. And he says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." God's word is our standard for truth. And that's where we start out. That's why I said, I think there's a real reason that true is included first in this list of things that we are to think about. Because all the other things that come underneath here are gauged on the foundation, the filter of God's word, right? We know what is noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy because we know the truth of God's word, the truth that comes from Him. And His Spirit guides us. As we look into the word, as I prayed, may your Spirit guide us as we look into your word. Our Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, rather, is our true teacher. And we get truth from God through the Holy Spirit, through His word. And so as we look into that, there's so many places that we could, more places we could look. Let's look at Psalms. Start out with Psalm 1:1, 1 and 2. If you want to turn to that, you can. A lot of you probably have memorized that. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in what? The law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. There's that word, meditates. He focuses on the word of God. And that word of God is where our thoughts should go to. Where do your thoughts go to when you're just have a time, you're driving down the road, you're laying in bed at night trying to fall asleep, whatever it might be? Where do your thoughts turn to? Do they go to things that they shouldn't? They go to thoughts of worry? I know that's a temptation that I had over the last months. All those not worry may be a little strong, but there, I guess I'll admit it was worry. How am I going to make this all work? How are we going to get all these details together? Thoughts of worry. Thoughts of resentment and anger to somebody maybe in our life. Thoughts of having vengeance on them. Whatever it might be. Is that where your thoughts go to? Is that where our thoughts go to? Or do we go to these things that's talked about here? And first of all, to God's word. Do we start there? Is that where we meditate day and night? We could look at a lot of verses in Psalms 119. We'll just look at a couple there in Psalm 119. So you turn over to there. Yeah, Psalm 119, 142. Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth. Psalm 119, 142, also down to 151. You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. Throughout Psalm 119, I counted 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 places where it talks about meditating on God's word. 8 times in just that one psalm. And that's just what I counted. You tie in the context along with it. And in a lot of ways, it's the whole psalm, all 176 verses, that is reminding you of the importance of spending time of filling yourself with God's word. Turn back to the New Testament to Colossians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul reminds his readers to spend time in God's word. Colossians 3, verse 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So we let the word of God, the word of Christ there, dwell in us richly. Not just a little bit, but a lot. Richly, fully, completely. Be filled with it. And so everything is based on the truth of God's word as we look for things for our minds to meditate on. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble. What does noble mean? That has the idea of worthy of respect. You think of you know, in other countries they have nobility that are given a position of honor. They aren't necessarily worthy of respect by their personalities, but they're worthy of respect by virtue of their position. It's like Pastor mentioned, we pray for our president because of who he is, his position of authority and respect that we should have. Now, this idea of noble is even beyond that. This is something that is truly honorable and honest. It has an idea there with honesty involved in it. And we could look over to 2 Corinthians, yes, chapter 8, and verse 21 for an example of how this lives out in our lives. I think I got ahead of myself. Nope. 2 Corinthians 8:21. Nope, this is the right one. Okay, providing honorable things not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And so as we think about honorable things, it shows out in our lives, and we live an honorable life before God and man. And all of these things are not just what is in our mind. What is in our mind is going to come out. We have this song that is set to music through Hide 'Em in Your Heart tape, cassette tape that our kids have had for years. And look them up sometime if you get a chance online. You can find them there. Hide 'Em in Your Heart. It's from the 90s. They even have videos to go with it. They're really cute. All this 90s stuff, early 90s clothes, and it's a lot of fun. But my kids listened to them when they were little, and this passage is one of them that they memorized, the song, rather, through song. And the guy that is leading it, he says, you've often heard you are what you eat, but how about you are what you think? And so if you are what you think, what you're dwelling on in your mind should come out. And if you're dwelling on these things, as we looked at here in 2 Corinthians, that we provide those things honorable in the sight of all men, that has to come out of the inside, doesn't it? You can only put on a surface front so long if what's inside doesn't match up with it, right? We've all seen people that look good for a while, and, well, the real them can come out. Does the real us come out sometimes when we're under pressure? Or are we dwelling on these things? As well as true and noble, think on these whatever is just. That has the idea of right and righteous. Okay, you guys have been going through Romans in the morning Sunday school class, the adult Sunday school class. And I know Jim mentioned that a little bit this morning, the idea of God's righteousness that he has imputed to us. And that's justification. We've been justified in him. And so as we look at things, think on things that are just, we think on things that are right and true. That's God's standard of holiness, not our standard of holiness. It's that higher standard of holiness that we should all live up to. We'll go clear back to the book of Deuteronomy here to in this regard, Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 20. You shall follow what is altogether just, that you may live and inherit the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Here again, God is calling his people to live out what is just. It talks about, before that, the context. It has the idea of being honest in your dealings, right judgment when someone comes for judgment to the magistrates in the land, that they are to get true justice and not take bribes and those kind of things. Well, if we are going to provide things that are just and right, and receive God's blessing for that, like I said, it has to come from the inside out, doesn't it? We have to be thinking on those things. We have to be thinking on things that are just and righteous. And back to Philippians here again. Next is pure. Pretty simple. That has the idea of morally clean. Our thoughts could go places that they shouldn't, or our thoughts can stay on things that are pure. Morally clean before God. God's standard of purity in our lives. There's a lot of things we could talk about there. It goes beyond just sexual purity, I think. It's the purity in our lives in all things, purity in our walk before God, that we worship Him and Him only. Throughout the Old Testament, God likens unfaithfulness of His people to immorality, because that relationship that God has with His people, it's an idea of being unfaithful, isn't it? And so that idea of being faithful in all things and thinking on things that are morally clean and pure goes far beyond what we would first think about it. That's purity in all of our thoughts. Whatsoever things are lovely, where do you go from there? There's pleasing, kind, and gracious. The good things. We think about whatsoever things are true. We start back there, and obviously we're going to God's Word. But when we get down here to whatsoever things are lovely, pleasing to the eye, pleasing to us, we can think of those things in life that God has blessed us with, not necessarily that we would consider spiritual things, but they are good things, right? God has truly blessed us with many things. You look at the sunset in an evening or the sunrise, whatever time of day you happen to be up and looking at such things, or just enjoying nature in those kind of things, wouldn't that be considered something lovely to meditate on? We give God the glory for that, right? Hopefully. We praise Him for what He has done there, how He has blessed us. So just because we put the foundation in God's Word doesn't mean it's always just God's Word that we're thinking about it. Sure, we should be filled with it all the time, but we look at God's creation and His other blessings and meditate and think on those things and praise Him for that, and it gets our minds going in the right direction, right? A good report. That has to do with highly regarded and well thought of. There's a lot of directions we could go with that. Whatsoever things of good report. I think some of that has to do with thinking good of other people that we should, as opposed to thinking evil of other people. Like I said, do our minds go to resentment and bitterness towards other people? Do our minds go to the things about other people that are good? And if we can't think about anything good for them, then pray for them, right? Wouldn't that be the best thing to do? Okay. There be any virtue. That is an idea of excellence. That's God's high standard there. It's the goodness that God has put into His world, to His creation. Anything praiseworthy? Okay? Do we think about things that are not praiseworthy? Let's think of it that way. Because praiseworthy is pretty clear what that means, right? Praiseworthy. Another way to say it would be commendable. Think about things that are not praiseworthy. But no, we think about things that are worthy of praise, worthy of lifting up. And then, like I said, I kind of do things backwards here. I started at the end of that verse. Let's go back up to the verses ahead of these, verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. If we're coming to God and letting our requests be made known to Him, our prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, being thankful, along with lifting up our prayer requests, our requests, our supplications before God, we're coming with thanksgiving. That, along with God's Word, meditating on God's Word, is a good place to go to get our mind where it should be, right? We're spending time in what? In God's Word. And then before that, He talks about spending time in prayer. And so when we're spending time in prayer and in God's Word, our mind is going to go the right place more often. So when that early morning comes, earlier than you think it should, or earlier than you want it to, I'm saying this because this has happened to me a lot lately, hasn't it? It just seems like wide awake, way earlier than I need to be. Where do my thoughts go? Where do your thoughts go? If you have trouble falling asleep, you're driving down the road to wherever you need to go on that trip, and you're alone with your thoughts, where do your thoughts go to? Do they go to those thoughts of worry, like I struggled with over these last months? How are we going to get this done? Or rather, should they go to thoughts of prayer? Lifting up the request that is concerning you right there before God, placing that in His hands, right? And then thinking about the many people that need prayer around you and lifting them up before God. I don't know how many friends we've got that are in poor health. It's been extended, getting connected here to the church. So many people we've been praying for here. Lift up those people before God. Look at their needs and focus on that in interceding on their behalf before God. And it takes the focus off yourself and your own worries. And then praising God, of course, for what we do have, right? We have so much to be thankful for. And, you know, I can lay there and think, you know, dear Lord, I don't know how we're ever going to get the rest of this stuff moved and how we're going to get it all coordinated. Or I could be sitting here saying, Lord, thank you that this opportunity has opened up, that you have provided. And even when we don't know the rest of His provision, Lord, you have provided this far. You'll continue to provide, right? Continue to trust Him. And then those things can fall in line, right? We think on those things that are true, those things that are noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. What does Isaiah 26 verse 3 say? A lot of you probably have that one memorized from years past. If you want to turn to that, you can. Isaiah 26, 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Can we think of anything more true, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy to think about than just to have our mind stayed on Him? We start there and keep our mind focused on Him and what He's done for us. The rest of it will fall in line, won't it? It may take some time. It may not always be easy. We're still going to struggle with thinking the wrong thoughts at times. But come back to this familiar passage once again, as I've had to do, and remind myself that you are what you think. And if I'm thinking about the wrong thing, if my mind goes to worry, if my mind goes to resentment or anger towards somebody, whatever it might be, that's going to show up in my life in the days ahead. Now my family's going to be watching. They're going to go, oh, we can tell what Dad was thinking about last night when he couldn't sleep. But is that the case in our lives? Are we thinking about, are we meditating on the right things? As we go through life, as Jim said, we all, this morning too, all of you are facing your struggles, your concerns. Sometimes when we stop and look at them, they look awful small in light of what other people are going through. We think even beyond just the sickness that we have in our friends here, our brothers and sisters in this body, how about our brothers and sisters on the other side of the world that are they're dying for their faith? And we can be thankful for what we have here. And we can think on them and lift them up before the Lord. We can think on what we have here and be thankful, and in the same time think on them and lift them up. So remember that. You are what you think. What do you think about? What do you meditate on when your mind has that chance to just go and wonder? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you that you haven't just told us to think about something good and leave it to us to figure it out, but you have clearly showed us in your word. Lord, may we so much fill ourselves with the word of God that our thoughts stay on you, and that we will have that peace that you give us. It will show in our lives to all around us that our minds are fixed on you, that we are thinking on these things that are true and noble and just and pure, lovely, good report, virtuous and praiseworthy. May that show out in our lives to the people around us so that we can be an encouragement to fellow believers, a testimony to the unbelievers around us, and most importantly, give honor and glory to you in no matter what situation we are in. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.